On the Tuesday Countdown podcast, after 3 days filled with unbelievable verbal mistakes in speeches and elsewhere, it appears that Donald Trump is suffering from a disease called fluent aphasia, where Nikki's aphasia, in which they sound like sentences or answers to questions, but, and this is almost the literal clinical definition,
almost the literal
they are
clinical?
In fact word salad.
Mm-hmm.
Where Nikki's aphasia, fluent aphasia. He may also be suffering from another disease called anosognosia, in which you cannot realize nor accept the idea that you have an illness or injury.
Describing
all
himself.
Plus the Supreme Court betraying America yet again, but inadvertently giving Joe Biden a kind of qualified, specific immunity in case he wants to try to overthrow an election. Please join us after the State of the Union live on YouTube with our special Countdown State of the Union postgame show. And also please join us on the Tuesday Countdown podcast, now live wherever you podcast.
I was reluctant to start with this video because I don't think, you know, what's his face? Olbermann deserves any more oxygen than he naturally takes up from the world. I'm just going to double check my audios as we're doing this. I was reluctant to, but I have to, because we need to see the sheer psychotic, unhinged individual. We went from a world of don't do your own research, trust the experts, to do your own research, diagnose people without having the slightest clue as to what you're talking about. He's diagnosing Donald Trump with aphasia. I mean, it's almost literally the definition. But by the way, the reason why I brought this up is because I'm going to highlight a few of his other tweets, in which he refers to the justices of the Supreme Court as political whores, but after singling out three of the female justices who I guess he thought were indebted to him for being liberal and betraying him, highlighted three of the female justices in particular before going on to refer to them as political whores. But speaking of aphasia and clinical disorders, so you got the tweet with his diagnosis that he posted 11 hours ago. Then you scroll down. Hold on, we got to go to Keith Olbermann's. What's going on here? Refresh. He must have posted that tweet every hour on the hour for about, there's one, bringing it down. Oh, who's this? What's this? Al Franken. Forget it. We don't need to go into that more moron. But what I did want to highlight with Keith Olbermann, being a raging psychopath, he put out a tweet yesterday. I'll highlight both of the tweets because it's just talking about unhinged lunacy, not realizing you're crazy. I recognize I have certain mental traits that some might be able to diagnose as any variety of OCD, GAD, ADHD, whatever. I recognize it. I recognize that whenever I make any accusation about anybody else. But I think it was from Full Metal Jacket. The dead and the dumb have one thing in common. They don't know it. As for the mentally unhinged like Keith Olbermann, this is a tweet that he put out yesterday as he was crying, but for some reason said it wasn't tears, it was urine on his face. And I have no idea what the hell he's talking about. The Supreme Court has betrayed democracy 9-0. When they packed the court, people, they got to pack it now with more than nine. Its members, including Ketanji Brown Jackson, Keegan, Sotomayor, they are all three women, liberal justices on the court, have proved themselves inept at reading comprehension. The white man is telling the women how they should be reading and what they should be thinking and how they should be ruling. And collectively, the, quote, court has shown itself to be corrupt and illegitimate. Ironically enough, if you call the government illegitimate, that's insurrectionist talk. But when Olbermann, the unhinged lunatic, singles out three justices by name, that's okay. And then, by the way, then he goes into, but let's just get clear on the time here. This is March 4th. This is yesterday. This one is 12 p.m. That's right. Okay, good. 2 hours later, Ketanji Jackson Brown, Kagan, I forget her first name, and Sotomayor have proved themselves inept at reading comprehension. And then as I thought about it a little bit more, psychopath Keith Olbermann, if the political whores on the court are overruling quite explicit language in the Constitution to benefit one politician, your separations of power died long ago. Keith Olbermann is mentally unwell. I'm not going to diagnose him with anything in particular. I know what I'm thinking. That man, not only would I not let that man babysit my kids, walk my dogs, I wouldn't let him feed my fish. I wouldn't let him clean up after my dog. He's a psychopath. Okay, We got a good one today, people. So some of you may have seen a tweet thread that went viral, as they say, the kids these days. And it was investigative journalist work from an independent journalist who I've never heard of, but I saw the tweet thread like everyone else and read it with great interest and reached out. And she said, yes, we'll come on and we'll talk about it. And we're going to go through all of it. And we're going to break down and potentially not expose, because I can no longer expose it, because it has been exposed seemingly by Mel, although I don't know what her full name is. We're going to put it on the blast of all blasts, because there is nothing more fitting than a corrupt attorney general. She's the attorney general, correct? Yeah, the AG of New York Attorney General, Letitia James, persecuting Trump and need a $500 million fine. Just make it a billion, make it 10 trillion. For allegedly overvaluing his assets and a bank giving him preferential loan rates, allegedly based on that overvaluation. All of it's bullcrap. But for someone who's going to meticulously comb through financial statements, bank loan agreements, contracts between corporation and banks, all of whom are, you know, fully vaccinated adults, as we say in French, it's maybe time to shine that spotlight very much on Letitia James. So, without further adieu. For those who don't know the how the channel works, we're going to start on YouTube, Rumble, and vivabarneslaw.locals.com. We're going to wind up or end, we're going to wind off, move out of CommieTube, go over to Free Speech Rumble platform. The link to Rumble is up in the pinned comment if I've done it properly today, which I have. Then, when the stream is over entirely, we're going to go over to Locals, where we have another Locals chat today with a supporting member, and it's going to be fantastic. So, that is it. Who likes Keith is a darn good question, Rockstar Marie. It's not the first time he's had a psychopathic, unhinged rant of a tirade. And yeah, he's gotten enough. Who's Viva Fry at the Viva at the dentist? I don't know what that means, Pete. Okay, life lockdown. Okay, so let's do it. Mel, you ready? 3, 2, 1.
Hi. No.
How goes the battle?
It's good. Good so far today. Like I said, I'm babysitting a little puppy. This is Ellie. Well,
that is guaranteed a Labradoodle.
Yeah. Well, she's a miniature golden doodle. She's really tiny. She's about 9 weeks. She's only 4 pounds.
Well, that's very cute. Look how she's looking at you.
Oh. No, she's a doll baby. She's very timid, and I have a mean cat that just, you know, just came up and just swatted her because she can.
So you're not a dog lady, but you're a cat lady.
No, I'm a dog person, but I'm not a cat. I'm on a cat, you know, that's on an individual basis. I would never describe myself as a cat person, but I like my cat when she's not being awful.
Well, that's my problem with cats is they are seemingly always awful. There's one cat down my street, which is a beautiful cat, and comes up. And the only reason why he's a beautiful cat is because he acts like a dog.
Yeah. Bada-boom. It's funny. My cat, she loves all people, but she hates all other animals on this earth. She tolerates my dog. But if it were up to her, she would just banish them all and never have to see another animal the rest of her life. And so, you know, but she loves people. And she's super friendly. But,
fantastic. Yeah. Well, Mel, I haven't even given you the 30,000-foot overview because I haven't even had enough time to delve into who you are. If there's been other podcasts where you've explained your situation, who you are, but 30,000-foot overview, what do you tell the public by way of elevator pitch?
So I have a political science degree. My background, I worked for a criminal defense attorney for a few years, so I did paralegal work. That kind of prepped me doing, you know, discovery reviews and stuff like that, to really dive deep and look for things that the government doesn't tell you up front. And also to really never trust the official report from the government, because if you've ever dealt with criminal defense, I'm sure you've seen it, you know, very often what the story they tell you is not the story that happened in the crime or the, you know, for your defense. So that kind of, I think, gave me skepticism, healthy skepticism of the government and of official narratives in general. And so, like I said, I'm really into politics. Last year, I started looking into Tim Scott when he announced for his presidency. And because I knew what it was, I knew he was just going to launder the money that he had just raised, all the money that he had just raised from his Senate race, what was left over. There was like $15, $16 million left over. And what I came across was that, I knew kind of what was going on, but I was really shocked when I found out Tim Scott raised $52 million for his reelection in 2022. His Democrat opponent raised $200,000. Tim Scott spent $38 million on reelection.
Are you aware of any caps on the amount that they can raise total? Because I ran for the People's Party of Canada. If I'm not mistaken, I could only raise 20 some odd thousand. Like, there was a cap that you could raise.
Right. And I always say, that is the solution. We have to put caps on it. No, in America, there is no cap on how much you can raise. We have candidates running for state houses. There was a kind of famous case in 2021. New Jersey State's legislator, he raised $18 million. For a state house seat, it's crazy, right?
It's wild. Tim Scott was that. This was for his senatorial race in. Mm-hmm.
South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally safe state. He was always going to win. It was never even a competition. And like I said,
$50 million.
He raised $52 million. He spent 38. Yeah.
Okay. So the rules are. I mean, what can be done with the excess, or what cannot be done with the excess of what's left over? But then, more importantly, how do you spend $38 million without it just being a slush fund for contractors, advertisers, and everyone come in and get a contract, and we'll divvy out this money?
Right. Well, it actually just turns into a slush fund for consultants. Millions and millions and millions of dollars into these consultancy fees. But then it gets turned into a personal slush fund, flying around. I haven't, if you search my Twitter feed, you'll find it. You search Tim Scott. I went through the expenditures one by one, and I broke it down into a really easy to digest spreadsheet. But, he had like $200,000 in airfare, another $200,000 in hotels and in meals. And, there's black car rentals. There's just everything you can think of, to live a really, really good lifestyle.
There's certain things that I'm going to be more, that I'm always tend to be forgiving about, like when James O'Keefe was getting in trouble with the accusations that he was using Project Veritas as a slush fund. He was taking black cards. I'm like, I don't expect politicians, especially detested politicians, to be hailing down cabs on the street. So some things I'll give him a pass for, because I would give the same benefit of the doubt to someone who I liked versus someone who I hated. But at what point does it cease being campaign issues anymore, especially after you comfortably win? And then what happens to it after the campaign is over, or what is supposed to happen to it after the campaign is over?
Right. Like, I'm not an unreasonable person. I don't expect these people to live on bread and water. I'm very reasonable. I'm okay. $5, $6, $7 million on a reelection, you can still live a pretty decent life. You can still eat at very nice restaurants. And that's for Senate, obviously, because it's every 6 years. But it clearly crosses a line. You're taking money. Also, and the other thing is, we have Blake Masters out in Arizona who struggled mightily to get any money. And that was, a potentially competitive race. He raised $10 million and he was fighting a $150 million war chest of Mark Kelly. And here we've got Tim Scott blowing $38 million, raising $52 million, blowing $38 million on a seat that was 100% guaranteed, was never going to flip. That was the thing that first really kind of ticked me off, because I always liked Blake Masters. But so that was the first time I really realized that, okay, these people can use this money in ways that I had no idea. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that they could. I knew that, campaign events, catering events and stuff like that. But when you really get in there and you start digging and scratching at this stuff, you realize that this is not, when you're running up $5,000 bills at the Capitol Hill Club, you are not, that's not a campaign expense.
For those who don't know, like myself, what's the Capitol Hill Club?
It's a really fancy members only club in D.C. that they all Republicans love. I think it's some kind of fine dining steakhouse. They've got like the $10,000 bottles of wine and stuff like that. It's a members only club. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I just found out yesterday looking through somebody's expense. Oh. It's got $50,000. It's a $50,000 membership fee. to even belong to this club.
It's not like the old joke, I'd never want to become a member of a club that would have me as a member, but like I would never, everything about that sounds uncomfortable, nothing about it is alluring, but this is where the disgusting backdoor deals of politics occur in an exclusive, and they just go, they tip them, just easy to dispose of the money when stuff is overpriced or exceedingly high priced.
Right. Yeah. It's always funny because, you know, they'll be spending, you know, $5,000-$7,000 at Mastiano's in DC. And then you'll look and you'll see their expenditures back in their own districts or their own states. And, you know, they're buying Chick-fil-A for their supporters, which just kind of cracks me up. You know, somebody down in Texas, I looked at one time, you know, he had spent $7,000 at Mastiano's, which is some fancy restaurant in DC. And then the very next day spent $300 at Bucky's in Texas. For a campaign event, you know, just so typical. But so that was the first time I really realized that, okay, these people are really living a lifestyle that, and they're using these campaign funds to supplement their lifestyles, which actually makes a lot more sense why they want to keep these jobs so bad, because they get to live like kings, right? And so I've done a bunch of threads. I did one on Dan Crenshaw. I did one on Steve Scalise. I usually focus on Republicans because I'm a Republican and, you know, I'm a firm believer in you have to fix your own house first. But I was doing a podcast with a guy named James Clary out of Southeast Missouri. And he asked me, he said, hey, you know, can you look into Letitia James, see if she's got anything? And I really wasn't expecting anything, honestly. I'd never really looked into a state rep before. I mean, I casually kind of looked into it, but I never really downloaded their stuff and really combed through the expenditures. And I was shocked when I found, you know, hers, because again, she's a Democrat attorney general in a really safe state, New York. You know, the only real race that she had was her 2018 primary, which she pretty much easily won. And ever since then, you know, as long as she's running, she's going to be fine. Like, she's just going to glide through. She doesn't need all of this money. And yet what we find is that she's raising, you know, for her second campaign, something like $8 or $9 million.
Before we even get there, actually, you said you were working as a paralegal for the like, how are you doing this independently as a living?
No, I don't. So I own a small business. But then I just kind of, I've become obsessed with things. You know, I think everybody knows our country, and I know you live in Canada, and it's the same up there, that you know something's wrong. We all know something's wrong. These people aren't responsive to us. They don't represent us anymore. They are, who knows who they represent, but we know it's not us, right? So I kind of just started writing these threads on Twitter and posting them, and some of them would gain traction. My one on Tim Scott, I think it got like 100,000, 800,000 views. I wrote one on ghost donors, a couple weeks ago that got almost 1 million, but nothing quite like the Letitia James thing.
Well, it's very, very, very timely. And by the way, I should say, Canada is so broken, I actually had to flee at least temporarily to the free state of Florida. That's where I reside now.
Yeah.
So if I may ask, what's the small business?
I own a screen printing business. I sell stuff online. Before COVID, it was really, really good. And it's still good. It's kind of one of those things, like, I design shirts, I sell them. I sell them for moms going to Disney. So, but they're not trademarked or anything. They're just Disney themed. It's kind of hard to explain. I never really mixed it because obviously my politics, you know,
You haven't gotten any of the AOC contracts or the Letitia James contracts for shirts for a campaign. A million shirts at $15 a shirt.
Right. No. I mean, you know, it does good for me, and it's something fun, and it allows me to work from home, which is really
well. Fun. And this was never the objective, but what's the name of it and what's the website while we're on the subject?
I don't want to share, like.
Ah, okay. All right. Sorry. Never mind. I've done it. I put my foot in my mouth. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's just like, it's like Disney themed, you know, like when I say Disney themed, but.
It's good. Some people don't want to mix politics whatsoever, or what they do
right,
as a pastime.
Yeah, and it's so apolitical, you know.
Well, I'll just plug mine then. Go to vivafry.com for some shirts.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I want to talk. We're going to get into all of this, but we're going to leave YouTube in about 5 minutes. The question, and everybody on YouTube, get your butts on over to Rumble because we're 4,500 on YouTube. What are we on Rumble? 4,700. So make the migration because we are doing it. But the question is this. Methodology. Ghost donors, because we're going to get into it with Leticia James, but break down that thread or explain to us, because, you know, it's a foreign concept to me that out-of-state individuals could even donate to a local attorney general race. Explain what the ghost donors is while I plug the links to the other places where we're going to go, and then we're going to go over and talk Tish James.
Okay, so it's like, where do you start, right? I know why people don't write about this because it is kind of, where do you even start? So in 2023, James O'Keefe, most people know him from Project Veritas, he kind of exposed a scam on Act Blue, which basically what he noticed, and I had noticed this before too, but O'Keefe, of course, took it to the next level, which is what you really have to do. He noticed that there were people, older people especially, listed on Act Blue as having given tens of thousands of donations, you know, sometimes totaling $100,000, but they're always small dollar donations. So we're talking about, like, you know, some old grandma in Topeka making 10,000 donations, but they're like a dollar each, right? Which is still a lot of money. And it was just really odd. So what O'Keefe did was he actually printed out the names of these people, and he went around and started asking people, did you donate to, you know, Act Blue 1,500 times? Did you donate, you know, 3,500 times? And without fail, every person he went to was like, no, these donations were not mine. I didn't make these, you know. They had all maybe given a handful of times, but none of them even had the money to be able to do something like this.
Is the donation coming via a name or a name and address or a name and address and a credit card? Like, at some point it has to be traceable.
So it comes through the conduit, which is Act Blue, and it's using a name and an address. Yes. Okay.
And so these people who were they in fact making the donations, or were the donations being made and just using their names and addresses?
So the donations were being made in their names, which is illegal. And no, they were not making them. They had no idea that any of this was happening. These people are real, though. They do exist. They're not dead or anything like that. They always exist, and they're always alive. That is one thing. And I have looked at thousands of their names. I've looked them up, how much their homes are valued at. You know, when I see somebody that's given, you know, $139,000, and then I see that, you know, this is a woman that's living in what is probably a rent-controlled older apartment for someone, you know, or, you know, she's a retired teacher, she's 76 years old, and I'm supposed to believe that she's been giving 15 donations every single day for the last 3 years to different candidates, totaling $79,000. So O'Keefe exposed that in early spring of 2023, and it kind of just landed with a thud. Nobody talked about it. You know, that's something that you would think Republicans would have jumped all over.
It's something that I think I would have jumped all over it's like some of the things don't even cross the radar, but I'll actually have to text James and see if he's going to come on and talk about it, because this is how you launder money. I mean, I don't know if you call it dark money, but this is how you launder money into campaigns. And okay, but I'll have more questions on the traceability. So the monies are in fact coming from them or not necessarily coming from them?
No, it's never coming.
Definitely
from.
Not. Okay. Yeah. And so somebody's making the donation in their name, using their address, their name, unbeknownst to the person. And it's an amazing thing. You talk about, like, you can go easily find out based on someone's address. Mm-hmm. Do they own? Do they rent? How much is it worth? And does it correlate with the amount of a donation? Like, all of this is for paralegal. You know how to do this. It's all at the fingertips on the internet.
Yep.
Okay. Interesting. So the Act Blue piece comes out and this piques your interest.
Right. And so I'm very interested in this, you know, but it kind of lands with a thud, right? Like, it's Marco Rubio sent a letter to the FEC. But that's it. Like, nobody, you know, again, this should have been the biggest scandal ever. Right. And Republicans are just silent on it. And so I got put in Twitter jail last year, last July. And that was when I first did, you know, my deep dive on Tim Scott. And what I realized when I downloaded all of his expenditures was, you know, Tim Scott had like 15,000 refunds. And he was refunding donations that were like 30 cents, 15 cents, a dollar. You know, at that point, I didn't even know you could get refund. You could get your political donation back, but you can. You have to ask for it. But then I was like, who asks for 30 cents back? This is not right. Something is not right here. And so I start digging in, you know, lo and behold, WinRed's doing the exact same thing. Exact same thing. And then it all made sense why nobody has actually jumped all over this, because of course they're not. They're doing the same exact thing. This is a mutually assured destruction. So that's why nobody wants to bring it up. You know, that thread that I wrote has got almost 4 million views. Elon Musk commented on it. I know they've all seen it, and not a single candidate, not a single politician has said one single word on it. None of them.
It's wild, actually. You know, you say the reference mutually assured destruction. In this case, it's mutually assured profitability or mutually assured benefits is that both parties get to do it. And so why would anyone want to call it out?
Right.
And so what was the outcome of James O'Keefe's expose that these monies are being put through by other people in the names of people, mm-hmm. and no traceability as to who the actual donors are, and no follow-up and no further discovery?
So there's another gentleman named Peter Bernegger, and if you guys are interested, you can go to his website. These people are tremendous. I mean, they're just incredible what they've done. Mr. Bernegger, and then he has a whole team of people. They have created a website called electionwatch.info. And if you go there, there's an interactive map that they have documented tediously every ghost donor in every state. You can scroll over, and they've got them listed. How many donations these people have supposedly made? What's the total of them? And they did that by tapping an API into the FEC website. I mean, it's really incredible. They have documented it perfectly. Mr. Bernegger said that he had filed over 40 complaints with the FEC and has barely gotten anywhere with it. They're totally uninterested.
His name, I put his Twitter handle in there. It's Peter Bernegger, Bernegger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's okay. And sorry, and I cut you off there. But and so, what was the ultimate? No. There's no final answer as to where this money is coming from.
No. It would have to be audited from. You know, it would have somebody has to audit the conduit. So, Act Blue and WinRed to trace it where it's coming from. You know, my guess is it's probably a lot of different sources. There's probably foreign governments involved here. I've tracked all of the fundraising of the House Republicans from 2022. Not all of them are doing it. Not all of them receive this. I know exactly which ones are, which ones aren't. But, it's interesting to see who does and who doesn't do it. None of them talk about it.
These are what we call PACs, political action committees. Mm-hmm. Act Blue is a political action committee for Dems. And We Win is the one for...
WinRed.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That would explain why I was. Yes,
but they're also credit card processing conduits. So it's who, whenever you go to anybody's website, there are a couple others that they might use. I think the Republicans use Anadot, and then Democrats, they have an alternate too. But for the most part, almost all political donations get ran through Act Blue and WinRed, and so. But because they are also PACs, what happens is they have to report every single penny that they receive every time someone donates. So they, when you go to look through their stuff, they'll have hundreds of millions of receipts, right? Sometimes billions. When that money is then transferred into a candidate's committee, the candidate, when they go to report their contributions, they only have to report when somebody gives over $200. So if you had, you know, a little old grandma contributing 199 times at $1 each, none of her contributions would even show up in a candidate's report. So it's very easy to hide. But once they hit over that $200 mark, then boom, all of those.
200 total.
Right. Yeah.
This is fascinating. I mean, this is not something I didn't even know to not know about it. It's wild. Hold on. I had another question. Someone had just asked in the chat, and it's a good question. Can anyone find out if they have been used as a conduit by searching their name?
Yeah. So first thing to know is if you're super active on social media, if you're young, you probably haven't been, probably. But you go to FEC.gov, put in your name at the top or whoever's name you want to use, and a little thing will come up, and it'll say search for individual contributions. Click on that, and then be sure to put in your zip code. And because, you know, if you have a common name or whatnot, it'll be, you know, so I had somebody like freaking out saying that, you know, somebody used their grandma's, and then turned out that it wasn't their grandma, it was somebody else. You know, they didn't realize that they could filter like that. But yeah, just put in your zip code. Or, you know, something that I did that I found was I went to WinRed. And like I said, because every single receipt with WinRed is recorded, you can search their receipts by your zip code. So you can put in your zip code, and this is ActBlue too, either one, doesn't matter. Pull up the year, put in your zip code, and then filter. And what I like to do is I put a second filter on there for $0 to $5, because that's really the kind of where you'll see, like, you know, zip code, that, and then you'll be able to see really quickly the people who are probably being used. And, you know, around you, you don't have to put that filter on the second filter. But yeah, you know, so what I found the first time I was really looking is my neighbor right up the street, 96 years old.
This is so amazing that people don't understand at the tip of their fingers, all of this information is available.
Yep. It's just, the thing is that it is complicated and it's confusing. And it's not that, I shouldn't say it's not confusing. It's just complex. It takes a long time to kind of break this down. I know why people don't write about this very often, because it's hard to figure out how to relay this so that people can digest it. And so what I found is that people really like to hear about how the money is being spent, you know, because it's so outlandish. It's so wild.
Here, I'm going to give everybody the link to winred.com where you can go check it out for yourselves.
FEC.gov. Oh, WinRed.
WinRed, you cannot put your postal code in or name to see.
No.
Sorry, my bad.
It's through FEC.gov.
FEC.gov.
Mm-hmm. And then type in WinRed at the end little search thing. It'll come up. And
I see. Okay, so hold on. So you go to FEC.gov and then you go into the search bar and put in WinRed.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And now you can search. Okay, so here, I'll give everybody this link. And by the way, just to let everyone know, we're going over to Rumble, but the number keeps going up on YouTube. So get off of YouTube, come over to Rumble, because we're going to get into Letizia James there. This is the link. We're at 5,136 on YouTube. That number should be at zero in 30 seconds. And if you're stubborn and you're not coming for whatever the reason, shame on you. I'm joking. That's a joke. Come on over to Locals if you want. Or wait until we post the entire interview later. It won't be live and you won't be able to interact. So come on over to Rumble. That's the link. Okay, amazing. All righty. That's a segue. We're going to end on YouTube. This changes nothing on our end. Mel, and is it Mel for Melissa?
Melissa. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to end on YouTube. I'm going to see the number go down one more time. 5172. Come to Viva Fry on Rumble or vivabarneslaw.locals.com, and we're getting into the tish. We're going from the fanny, and we're going back to the fanny tomorrow. Oh, Mel, tomorrow is going to be one hell of a day. From fanny to tish, and the woman who's persecuting Trump. Okay, we're ending on YouTube, Viva Fry on Rumble, and you get the reruns later, peeps. Boom. Okay, good. It actually has dropped 600 in 1 second. All right, Mel. So now this is why people can go do their own research, and that's not a bad thing to do, people. Digging. So you set your sights on Letizia James to say, like, okay, I just want to go pull up how much she raised, what she filed, because a lot of this is public. Tell everybody what your MO is, if you don't mind disclosing your MO. Where do you start if you say, Letizia James is my investigative interest now? Where do you go to find out campaign finance? Sorry.
When James asked me, you know, again, because like I said, I usually just focus on Republicans. And so I was like, okay, I'll do that. You know, I honestly, I really wasn't expecting anything. So I go to New York State. First thing I did was I wanted to see what contribution limits were. They're kind of crazy in New York State. I won't even go and bore you with that. But New York State actually has a really, really user-friendly campaign finance website. Some states are awful. My state of North Carolina is awful. But
what is the maximum contribution, single contribution for an individual in New York State?
So for a primary, it's funny because primary goes by registered from the party. So if you are an individual in New York State and you're giving to a Democrat, you can give $22,000. But if you're giving to a Republican, you can only give $15,000 because there are significantly fewer Republicans than Democrats. And if you, which is still a lot of money, but then that's for individual, but then there's also a family donation, which is like $47,000.
Yeah, so we're talking big numbers. It's not like 800.
No. It's way higher than the, you know, the federal limit right now is 3,300 for a primary and 3,300 for a general.
And, so that, and I was even looking in Georgia, as best I could tell. I mean, it was something like 1,800 to, it was like 3,000 to 5,000, depending on what the race was, but not astronomical figures. These are not astronomical, but they're massive.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of money. Yeah, definitely. I was definitely shocked to see. So again, I wasn't, you know, when you can get that much money, I mean, who, again, and because she didn't have a primary 2022. It was smooth sailing, easy sailing. So I go to the New York State campaign finance website. You can search by candidate for expenditures or contributions, which makes it really easy. And what I always do is I usually I download the whole file, whatever they have. I'm on a Mac, so I use Numbers. And then I sort by... once I open up Numbers, I add a category for disbursement reason, right? So that breaks everything down, you know, lodging, airfare, everything like that. And that'll give you a really clear view of what, you know, what they're spending it on.
The software itself or the spreadsheet itself has it labeled by predetermined labels, right? There's no there's no confusing ways of labeling it. It has to be restaurants, food, travel, that type of category.
Yeah. So you have to give the name of the recipient, right? But then they get to choose what they expense it under. And with her, what I know, I mean, hers is just atrocious. You know, she's got thousands of it just says other needs explanation, you know.
Have these statements have to be audited, right? They are audited by the time you have access to them.
I mean, they're official reported, you know. I don't know if there's an independent auditor in the state of New York. I don't think there is one with the FEC, definitely, because I cannot imagine that. I mean, the things I've seen get expensed are just some of the craziest things you've ever seen.
It's wild. I mean, I can only compare it to my very, very limited small time running for office in Canada, but they make you have an accountant review it, approve it, and then they look it over. And if there's anything that they think is a little fishy, they get back to you and ask you to review it. Okay, so you go and you download all this. I'm sorry, I cut you off. And then,
So I download it. I go through it. First thing I notice is Puerto Rico, right? So I'm like, you know, what in the world? So then what I do is I chunk it up into years, right? Because that'll give you a better idea of how the money is being spent year by year. And in 2023, so remember, so she got elected in 2018 for the first time. She won re-election in 2022. So 2023, we're a year out, you know, no upcoming election, no nothing like that. And the expenses were like $1.1 million total for the year, which is, again, you're not running for anything.
No, it's explicable, but it's inexplicable. It's a, right. So it's a 4-year term, 2018, 2022. Mm-hmm. For what it's worth, everybody knows this watching the channel, but when she ran in 2018, it was campaigning off prosecuting, persecuting Trump. That was part of the campaign. And then I guess the same in 2022. I'll Google it while you're talking just to see what her margin of victory was. But so they have this money left over, and then they're spending millions of dollars, or at least over $1 million, the year after she's been reelected, while they still have this slush fund at their disposal.
So yeah, the first thing that catches my eye is a hotel in Puerto Rico. It was Hotel Caribe in San Juan, and the bill is $9,000. And I'm like, what in the world? So, you know, now I'm just like, okay, I do away with everything else, and I'm just looking at 2023.
What was the name of the hotel?
Hotel Caribe, Caribe.
Hotel. All right, I'm going to just look this up while we're talking. What it costs a night. $9,000. Now, Puerto Rico, it's not a state, but it's part of the unincorporated Commonwealth of the United States. So was she there campaigning, Mel? Is that...
So somebody told me, somebody said that they have a conference down there each year. Now, there were three separate trips to Puerto Rico. So I don't know how many conferences you could possibly have, you know, if, when you're the state attorney general going to Puerto Rico. But, you know, there's potentially one legitimate charge on there. I don't know if it's $9,000 legitimate, but, you know, someone did say that there was a conference down there. It's for New York State Assembly members to reach out to the Latinx community.
Half of these conferences are pretextual in any event, just for a vacation away from your family while people do God knows what with each other there. So look, hey, they got a nice, beautiful room from $4,000, two kings. This looks like the hotel. Hilton for the stay. Yeah. Okay. $9,000. She's down there for a conference, and she probably got repaid by cash for for whoever her roommate was. Bada bing, bada boom. Okay, so that's the first one you see, and you're looking into also, like, in greater detail, getting feedback from people who read your tweets. You know, there was a conference there, so that might explain this type of thing.
Right. So that's, you know, that's definitely, you know, one expenditure. But again, we've got another charge to the Conado Palm Inn. And this is also in San Juan, and that was for $3,400. And then another charge to the Royal Sonesta, and these are all different dates, and that was for $1,150. So,
within what time frame is this?
This is 1 year, 2023.
So it's wild. Okay, interesting.
And then we've, you know, so then I'm like, okay, so, but that's not all. Then we've got.
If I may ask, this isn't, what is does the bank account have a name? Does the entity in which this money is being kept, is it Campaign for the Re-election of Letitia James?
James for New York is the name of the committee.
So James for New York, when you're left over with money after the purpose of the campaign has been achieved, and then you use it for what they might be deductible expenses, but maybe the state would have to approve them, and maybe the state wouldn't approve them if they're not legit. And so you just dabble into your leftover campaign funds and expense them out until you have zero.
Oh yeah, I'm digging on someone right now that your head's gonna explode when you see what I found. Because yesterday I spent the day on the phone with my sister just screaming about this. Like, I just cannot believe that no one has, you know, like, how do they get away with this crap?
And by the way, Mel, I should say, if you want me to bring up a screen, I have your Twitter thread, but if you want to share anything, give it to me in the private chat or put it up on share screen.
Okay. So here, well, I can give you this. Sorry, if you give me just 2 seconds. Yeah,
If there's specific docs, but it's this is in 1 year. She spent over $1 million from her Letitia for whatever campaign funds the year after she's been elected. How much was left over in that account after her reelection?
So it's kind of hard to, because you can only see like how much they spend per year, right? So like in 2022. She spent, it's not much. I think she spent on that cycle $6 million, right? So in 2023, she spent $1 million, but she also raised $1 million. So they're kind of spending it as they go. Sorry, give me just one.
Yeah, Dormant. While you do that, apparently I've got a lot of spammers in the Rumble chat here. What is it with, it's an account that creates the same message over and over again. Everybody asking if I have mods. I have one mod. I don't, I believe in as much free speech as humanly possible in the chat. And if you have people start banning because they don't like stuff, but spamming is the only bannable offense. So I got rid of three of them. Crazy people with their spam and links and whatnot. Okay.
Yeah, I know. It's so annoying.
Well, I could, if would pulling up your tweet thread help?
Yeah, I can. Here, I'm going to send it to you.
Okay.
Let's see. Well, I don't actually, I'm not going to send that to you because that is not showing. Yeah, just pull, let's just pull up the thread. So
don't send me anything that's going to get me raided by the FBI.
There is nothing that I posted not everybody in America couldn't download. It's just the only reason they don't is because it does take a long time. You know, like with hers, I had to comb through thousands of lines of expenditures.
Yeah, if you don't, like, in as much as I know how to do things, downloading and filtering through, I don't even know what sort. You said you used numbers. I can barely use Excel spreadsheets, and it's a problem. It'd be much more effective if I could, but so I rely on other people, and then we just break it down, and you simplify it for the dummy. So yeah, tell me where to stop, and we're gonna go.
Okay, yeah. So if you go down, boom, right there. So that's
this is in 1 year.
1 year.
Mm-hmm. 28,000 on hotel expenses.
Yep. 28,000 on hotels. I actually clipped it off of there at the end. But she had 3,900 in airfare. She had, which actually was kind of low considering total airfare in for 5 years was 84,000. She had car rentals again, but this was actually almost all Uber and Lyft, which, mm-hmm. you know, again, is like, I guess she lives in New York, you could say, but when I think of campaign, I think, okay, well, what were you doing? You know, how is this related to your campaign? And what you see is that it's probably not. It's just using it because they can, you know?
So this is 117, this is over the over a five-year period. Uber, really? Well, I mean, flip side is, you know, car rentals are the only ones where I'll, like, if you don't spend the 15,000 on Lyft and Uber and whatever, you'll have to have a car that you get to expense a certain portion of and gas and whatever. But either way, 100,000, well, meals and catering.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, there you can easily imagine they're going to have their campaign dinners, or they're going to have whatever, invite a bunch of people, so that you can easily understand that. Reimbursements. What did we bring?
So the meals and catering, those actually don't include the big caterings. Those are little tickets. Those are like, you know, that, because there was actually more for catering, but I excluded that because I just kind of thought that the meals were so egregious. You know, something like
20,000 bucks a year for meals. These aren't large catering events. They're receipts for everything. 18 bucks. She had lunch at the office. I don't know what the accounting rules are, but I'm sure that someone can find out that she might have enriched herself a little bit too much with stuff that she should have been paying for on her own.
Well, you'd actually be shocked to find, I'm sure that the New York State rules are probably very similar to the federal rules in that it's not just campaigning that they're allowed to use this money on. It's anything politically connected, which, again, if you're a politician, is everything in your life, you know, and that's really how they get around it. I mean, we've got Raphael Warnock. He uses his campaign funds for his kids' private schools. It's yeah. So they're just these campaign funds have, number one, they've just gotten out of control. They are millions and millions and millions of dollars, even for somebody like the state attorney general. I was looking up other attorney generals to see, you know, kind of comparable. And yeah, it's you know, in Florida, Ashley Moody, she spent $2,100,000. And in California, Rob Bonta spent $7.1 million on. Now, granted, in Bonta's defense, he did have to run a primary, so that was a real election for him. So,
I mean, I know Ashley Moody is our state AG. What was her election like? Was it competitive?
I don't think so. I didn't look into. I just when I first saw Letitia James's numbers, I was like, what the?
Flabbergasted.
You know, yeah. And so I just went and, you know, just to see, like, is this even normal? But, you know, in her defense, it kind of is this kind of this big, big money. But it's normal, but it's not, because, again, in 2022, she's running against a Republican who only had $900,000, was never going to win. She won by 10 points. It was a cakewalk. It was not even competitive. So
I'm looking at what this place, City Nights Hospitality. Let me bring that back up. Is that is that the name of a club?
It is. Yeah. So she expensed it under Office. So that's what I'm saying. When you download these, you'll see that, you know, okay, Office, like Cloudflare, that's clearly a, you know, an Office expense, you know, but then you go down to Crown Plaza Desmond, you know, obviously the Crown Plaza is probably not an Office expense. But yeah, you have to go line by line in all of these things to figure out what they are. Yeah, so if you just sort by disbursements, that's not going to give you a super accurate.
Crown Knights. I'm looking it up. City Knights or Crown Knights?
City Knights.
City Knights. That's 7,000 spent at one location.
Right. Yeah. City Knights. Now, if you look up, there's the 48 Lounge in New York. She also expensed, so that one was 2022. In 2023, she spent $5,000 at the 48 Lounge, which I believe is actually the same address as that City Nights Hospitality. She expensed that under Office as well. And it's a nightclub, you know.
City Nights Hospitality. Let's see here. Where luxury meets comfort, product meets quality, and service meets kindness. Every City Nights Hospitality location is designed to be a dining, nightlife, and event venue that provides a uniquely transitional, entertaining atmosphere set to impress the most refined professionals as well as the most sophisticated late night and weekend social celebrators. What in the hell? I don't want to leave.
Okay, so there it is, the 48 Lounge. So that's one of the, I guess, like the levels, you know. So yeah, so in 2023, after the election, she drops another $5,100 at 48 Lounge. Yeah.
She's drinking Grey Goose. This has to be beyond Grey Goose. This, I'm trying to think of a this is Ciroc level. I don't even know if that's more expensive, but.
Right, yeah, probably bottle service, whatnot.
Holy crab apples. Okay.
So then going even further into the expenses,
tell me where to stop.
You can stop right there. Okay. She spends, in 2023, again, this is after the election, she spends $311,000 on campaign consultants. And I've looked at this stuff enough to know that campaign consultancy stuff is the biggest scam that there is.
Do they identify who the consultants are so that you can... I'm sorry. Obviously, you do because you get them in the next two-bedroom apartment one. So there's not invoices per se, but it's identifying the name of the entity.
Right. So it'll give you it'll give you the name of the company and then the address.
Okay.
And then
you go there.
You go there and it's this random two-bedroom apartment, right? Now that Culver Place Strategies is a real business, but it's not ran out of Culver, or, you know, isn't ran out of Columbia Heights. I can tell you that it has a real address.
They're on a monthly retainer, basically. Or is that by the month?
Yeah, and so that's just the fundraising consulting, but then they'll have strategic consulting and digital consulting. Chuck Schumer spent in 2022, he spent like $12 million on website consulting, you know.
Culver Place Strategies. Now, in New York, mm-hmm. Are you able to get the names of the principals of companies? I'm always curious to know if they have any direct or indirect connection to it. Here you got Culver Place Strategies provides consulting. So let me bring this up. It's just wild just to do this. Everybody can do this if they are so obsessively inclined.
Yeah.
Culver Place Strategies. Why will it not let me share? Here we go. This looks like this is New York. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Implementation of aggressive, multifaceted fundraising campaign. Oh, there you go. You got Letitia James right on their website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where the vast experience of recognized leadership, principals David Mansour and Allegra Scheinblum have a proven political... Okay. I want to know. I would go dive into the connections of these, how far they go back. Okay. That's mm-hmm. the company. It's got a nice website.
Yeah, so it's a real company. I've found some where there is no, you know, Tim Scott, he spent $10 million on a company that didn't exist. It had nothing. There was no trace that this government and that this company even existed other than the P.O. box it rented out of a UPS store in Northern Charleston. That was it. He put $10 million into it.
Same type of scandals coming out of the Trudeau regime out of Canada. You go to the offices, they're empty. They've been taking millions of dollars in government contracts. Yeah. And what have they done with it?
Yeah.
Okay, very cool. Want to bring this back in?
Yeah, so again, you know, I'm like, what could you possibly be consulting on, you know?
Strategizing for 2026.
But what we know from this and what we know from other is that what happens with these consultancy firms is they end up starting, they pick up bills for certain things. So she not only spent in 2023, not only spent $311,000 on campaign consultants, she also reimbursed those campaign consultants to the tune of almost $21,000. And it's just for reimbursement. We have no idea what those reimbursements were for, but they could have been for anything. So again, this is...
Am I having a seizure or did I just notice bubbles appear in your screen?
Yeah, I saw that too. And I don't know what I'm doing. I just thought it was somebody like in the thing.
I thought I'm having cataracts or something. Okay, good. Just as long as we both saw it, I feel a little better.
Okay.
So consulting fees don't include the reimbursements. Then there's an additional $20,000+ mm-hmm. in reimbursement of expenses. Lord, that might be their lunches or their drinks if they go out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
It could be anything. You know, Steve Scalise runs about anywhere from a $150,000 to $400,000 bill every month with a consultancy firm for travel, food, events, and consulting. So that's what he pays them, you know.
Someone in our Rumble chat says, USA Live says, let's see Ronna McDaniel's expenses. We're going to get to Letitia James's net worth having exploded, according to an article in a legit, seemingly legit website.
Mm-hmm.
Her net worth, $15 million since her admission to the practice of law, and it seems to have ballooned over the last decade. The lawyer, who has been serving in high positions since 2019, reportedly makes around $4 million annually, with her salary accounting for $220,000 of that sum. Hmm. What the effing F?
Yeah.
Okay. And now we're gonna get to another ad to stage, another interesting one. Is there anything more on the consulting, or is that's?
So that's just, you know, that's consulting. You know, and again, that's just 2023. I like to focus on non-election years because I really think that there's no excuse why this money is getting spent in
unless it's just authorized, and you know, you could use it for your campaign and whatever you have left over, use it for political purposes, and that can be
right. And that's what they're doing.
That being said, then there's some stuff which can be hardly be described as political stuff to begin with, unless you know, merely breathing is political.
Right.
So what do we got? Nathan's Lux Lifestyle on Martha's Vineyard last August. Mm-hmm. $4,000. What is this?
Yeah, you go and you look at that address given, and it's like this kind of like, looks like a dilapidated house.
That's rustic Airbnbs. Yeah. Their consulting firm is marketing that one.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, again, $5,000. Yeah, and that's on Martha's Vineyard. It's in August, of course. That's the one I was talking about, the 48 Lounge.
When was the incident with DeSantis sending a plane of migrants, illegal immigrants over to Martha's Vineyard? That was not coinciding with that, was it?
No, I think that was actually 2021. Okay. So I think, yeah.
My memory is very, very, it's all fudged together now.
No, okay, maybe it was 2022 actually. Maybe it was, but it was, I don't remember. Yeah.
DeSantis sends migrants to Martha's. It was September 14th, 2022. Okay, so it still doesn't light up.
Yeah.
All right, interesting. So nice retreat. They were studying something there. You'll tell me where to stop here. Where do we go down? Contributions.
So, like I said, I'm not accusing her of breaking the law. I actually have no doubt that she has lawyers who have reviewed this and made sure that she's actually in compliance with the law.
So did Trump, though. I mean, so did the person that she's prosecuting.
Right. You know, but, and that's the kind of the point that I made, is that, I'm sorry.
Don't worry. That's not the puppy barking like that.
No, the puppy is asleep like a good girl. But
Wow, we do that. Let's go see here. Yeah, we're gonna get to the ghost bot soon. Let me see if I missed anything. Oh, we got Rumble Rants, which I'll get to in a bit. I'll just read some of the chats here. What do we have in here? We got starting from the bottom. Oh yeah, what does Mel think of Leticia amassing $15 million in net worth while being a public servant? Well, she makes $4 million a year. I'm staring at my dog, who's just pooped in her sleep. Guys, I'll be back in 1 second. Hold on.
It's okay.
Holy cows. Sorry about that. Oh. All right. I don't know where I'm not on the right screen. Sorry about that. I got a dog who's a paralyzed dog or a dog who's paralyzed in the back leg. So she spontaneously poops while sleeping. And that was one that I could not leave in the bed for any extended period of time. Okay. I washed my hands, people, just so you also know that. Sorry for the distraction. Where were we now? Back to the forensic analysis.
Right. So where were we?
I think we're getting into ghost donors now.
Right. So, you know, like I said in the thing, Trump set at such a high bar. Obviously, there were no banks complaining and she still, you know, made a nothing burger out of it. But then just to turn around and kind of run these wild expenditures and play really fast and loose with what she deems to be legitimate campaign expense. You know, it's just kind of the height of hypocrisy to me.
It's beyond hypocrisy because if we're living in the Lavrenta Beria age of, you know, show me the person, I'll find you the crime. Mm-hmm. Someone can easily go through this and easily find certain expenses that were not unlawfully, but rather impermissibly included as campaign. Undoubtedly, without exception, make a federal case out of that, pun intended, and you could go after Leticia James for that. But her accountants authorized it, so she got the what's the defense of professional advice or professional approval? She'll raise the defense. Trump doesn't get it.
Right. Okay. You know, it's. I mean, we've seen it for now, 6 years now.
It's political privilege. There's no white privilege. No, it's political privilege.
Yeah, and so. The next thing I came to, so I was already kind of like, oh, this is good stuff. You know, it'll be entertaining. But the next thing that I came to with her, I downloaded the contributions. So I was already really well aware of the ghost donors at the federal level. And so what I did was same site, the New York Campaign Finance, you can look at contributions, right? And what you can do is you can pull up the candidate and you can filter by year. Right. And so it'll show you how much was raised and it'll show you the receipts for that year. So every time somebody gives to a candidate, it's counted as a receipt. And so in the first year she ran, which was her major campaign because she had the primary and it was competitive. She took in $3.9 million And she had 2,983 receipts, right? Which is normal. And like mm-hmm. I said, in New York, they have a pretty high cap of what you're allowed to give. And so she had 2,570 in-state receipts, and then 413. And most of those came from New Jersey and like Massachusetts, like states that are Connecticut that are like right there. So it kind of made sense, you know, that even with the out-of-state ones, that it was somebody who would potentially be impacted by the New York Attorney General. Then the next year, you know, 700,000, she's got 1,200 receipts. Next year, it's 2020, she's got 405,000 and she's got 1,800 receipts. Mm-hmm. Then we get to 2021 and she's got 2.4 million and 5,698 receipts, which is a lot. That's pushing double of what she did in 2018. But we're coming up on election, whatever. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of anti-Trump stuff that year. So I could see how she could have raised that.
And I'm just doing the math. I mean, averaging out the dollar per receipt is useless because there could be massive receipts and then insignificant receipts.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Yeah. Yep. So then we get to 2022. And this is where I knew, you know, it just kind of pops out at you. She raised $3.2 million. But she had 32,593 receipts. So, boom, I download those. And that's the first thing I do. I sort them by state, right? Because we've got the contribution, the person, their name, and then, of course, their address. And she's got 12,408 in-state donors. But then she's got 20,185 out-of-state donors. So it was 62%. Of her donation,
the number. And to reiterate, out-of-state donations are not impermissible. It's
right.
It's
yep. Anybody allowed. Yep. Out of country is impermissible, but mm-hmm. as long as you're in the U.S., you can give. So that's like a giant red flag because obviously, who, you know, I'm like, who does that? Who gives to an attorney general in another state? And so what I did was I downloaded them all, I filtered, and I started taking the names. And what you notice is that once you filter by state, then you can filter by name, and you'll see that actually in each state, you've got, you know, 15, 20, maybe 30 people, but they've been giving 10, 15, 20 times. And so I just start taking their names and running them through the FEC website. Because I want to see, you know, and lo and behold, every single one is coming back with 200, 300, 400 donations
wow.
in 2022. And so I just pulled two names that I thought were particularly egregious. One of them was a woman from South Dakota. She had given at the federal level 3,200 and 32 times. So that's like 9 contributions every single day for the year 2022. Cause that's the filter that I put on just 2022. But then she also gave to Letitia James 25 separate times. And then she also gave to Kathy Hochul 9 separate times. Then I ran that woman's name through Google, and just in a simple Google search, she shows up on the donor roles in Nevada, Idaho, I believe it was Wisconsin and Virginia.
Is this, and this is not a name like a Jessica Smith that is susceptible of this?
No,
and it goes through to an address as well.
Uh-huh, yeah, it connects back to the address. Yep.
How much total did this individual give?
So at the federal level, she gave, I believe it was 39,000, or maybe it was 40 something thousand.
Yeah, give her, we're in the many tens of thousands.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Shut yeah. the front door. Okay, and then at the state levels, can you tally that up?
Yeah, so at the state level with in New York State, she gave 309 to Kathy Hochul and like 223 to Letitia James. And I didn't tally the other states. I just noted, I just screenshotted, you know, her name and whatnot. Again, these people don't know that their names are being used. So I never, ever post their information because they didn't ask for any of this, obviously.
Oh, so Someone actually on Honor234 says, was she even aware of the donations? Did you reach out to them personally by any chance?
I did not. No. This woman lives in South Dakota and you don't have their phone numbers. I mean, I could pay to like, you know, but I don't need to. Like I said, you know, we've had James O'Keefe going, you know, we've got plenty of documentation that people don't know. And when you really just think about the sheer volume of it, it's, I don't want to say it's impossible. It's technically possible if, you know, this 68-year-old woman wants to sit there and make 9 separate donations at the federal level every single day. And then God knows how many at the state level. Technically, she could. But we know that that's not happening. You don't have to be a genius to figure that out.
And then I guess the issue then is the question I'm asking is, if they don't know about it, is it legal? I mean, I guess at this stage,
it is not legal. It is not legal to make a donation in someone else's name, ever. It is never legal for someone to give you money and you make a donation. Nor is it legal for someone to use your name and your information to make donations. That is absolutely against the law.
Okay. And then I guess the bottom line question is, what might you do with this information? But let me bring back the table. I think this is the table. Is this the table of the ghost donors per year?
So that's the total receipts per year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And again, that's something that I made, but you can go and you can, you know, a lot of people say, well, where's, you know, I make this so that it's very easily digestible for normal people. But at any time, if you want to go check me, you can go to the New York State campaign page and you can look at all yourself, you know.
This is the woman who we're talking about.
So I downloaded her stuff and yeah, of course I take out her last name, but she's from Sioux Falls. And yeah, so what's that? $46,000 at the federal level.
It's obviously a scam and it's obvious. No, but they'll go after other people until they're blue in the face and never mind this.
If you go to my page and you search ghost owners, I did another thread on this where, you know, I found this guy lived in like a, he's like a retiree. He lives in like a 900 square foot house in Michigan. They had him making $80,000 in donations in 1 year. Another guy, and that was to win red. And then I did a Democrat and they had him making $135,000 in donations again, in like that was in a span of like 2 years. Wow. And these are 15,000 separate donations. It's clearly a scam.
I'm just wondering also from the individual's perspective, if let's assume that that they're tax deductible, these donations, which I think they're not tax deductible.
Mm-hmm. No.
So is there, I'm just trying to think of any potential financial impact on the individual if it's deemed to be some sort of, if it's deemed revenue, that it has to be if they're spending it. And if they get reassessed, maybe then that's how this gets exposed for what it could be. If they're spending $50,000 in their name that they either someone gave them, although illegal, that's still something of a gift that's then regifted. There have to be some tax consequences to this scheme on its face, but I'm not, I'll ask around. Okay.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, some people have said, somebody could sue. And there might be a case for like reputational damage because some of these people, you know, like obviously if they didn't like the candidate, they could say, you know, I don't like the fact that, you know, you soiled my name by giving to this candidate who I can't stand. But something, you know, I noticed some similarities after looking at thousands of these people. The things that I picked up on was, number one, they are not active on social media. They usually have almost zero internet presence whatsoever. Every now and then you'll find a story, a local news story using their names or whatnot. Number two, they're older. So they're almost all over the age of 60, but most of them are in their 70s and 80s. And a lot of them are in their 90s.
How many of them, not a joke, how many are dead?
So I've never found a dead person, but what I have found is like when I did a search through my own zip codes, and I downloaded, you know, looking for people who, it's really creepy when people die, the donations cut off immediately. They'll cut off on the day that they died.
That's amazing. I
found one guy, he had given like, in just 1 year, it was something like 8,000 times. And, you know, so I forget how many that is per day, but, you know, like 40 a day. But then, so he died of lung cancer is what I saw in his obituary. And they had him doing these donations all the way up to the day he died and then never again. You know, so
That's wild. I mean, it's algorithmic. It's not even human intervention.
Right. And so the other thing you'll notice when you're looking at them is that it's done in bursts. So that's what I think that they do is that they'll do like, it'll be like, you know, one donation on the 18th, one donation on the 21st, another one on the 22nd, four on the 23rd, and then nothing again for another 5 days. Right. And then boom, 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 boom. And then silence. So I think that they do that so that they can run and make sure, you know.
Sorry, this is what I want to add. Just want to look at these closer, the date wise. Retired, you got, look at this, just day after day. Why even? Okay, it's okay. I mean, okay, all right.
So yes, that's 1500, and that's just what I could fit in the screenshot. When you download, now the other thing is when you go to download all of the data, there'll be a lot more. There'll be, so it'll have the image number, the transaction ID on it as well. I just hide that because it's just easier for people to visualize. Mm-hmm. But all of those are there. So you can confirm, because the first time I ever did it, I was like, you know, I spent hours just looking at the transaction IDs, you know, making sure that, no, this isn't the same transaction over and over again. And it's for whatever reason, reporting purposes, it's, you know, it's having you get reported 3 or 4 times. No, that's not it. They all have individual transaction IDs. They will have different processing dates, even when it's on the same day. You'll see them 4 or 5 times, and they all have different transaction IDs. So
now we've scrolled to the end of the research. I mean, that's the bulk of the research that you found on Letitia James, which is probably true mutatis mutandis of other, many others, if not all other attorney generals and people in politics. The obvious question now is, what do you do with this information above and beyond what you already have done with it?
Right. So I think the most important thing is to get people aware of it, obviously. Like I said, Peter Bernegger, he told me that he has filed 40 complaints with the FEC. He's actually got one because, of course, Fannie Willis, she also had all of these ghost owners in hers. Somebody did a really great dive on that. He's actually got one pending with the, I believe it's the Georgia, campaign finance people. He's got one pending with them. He made it through the first hurdle. Basically they said, yeah, we're going to look at it. And,
the tactic is to go after a Republican candidate so that the SEC, if politicized, will be more amenable to looking into it.
Right. I mean, you know, like I said, the creepy thing to me was, you know, not a single Republican said anything about my thread. Nothing, you know.
It's wild. It's wild. Yeah. What I'm going to do, well, first of all, so now you have it's called Buy Me a Coffee. It's sort of like Patreon.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm going to give everybody the link to that. We have 11,500 people watching on Rumble, which is magnificent. Link to Mel's Buy Me a Coffee. I am very much partial to locals. I think any other platform is a waste, but that's the link to the Buy Me a Coffee. It's like Patreon. Does it allow video? How do I bring it up here?
Hold on. So it just allows people, you know, it's like a tip jar, essentially. This stuff takes a long time to go through. And I've had so many kind people, you know, really encouraging messages. I just love all the messages that people leave. I read all of them, but it's just it has been really nice because I actually have gotten a lot of coffees this time. People are really grateful for investigative journalism, for people digging and exposing things. But it takes a long time. Like I'm doing one right now. It's probably, I was hoping to have it so I could drop it for you, you know, but when I really got into it, I started it last week, and yesterday I was trying to wrap it around. It's difficult to make it so that people can understand, so they don't get lost, mm-hmm. so their eyes don't glaze over, because these people are really sneaky and they transfer this money all over the place and you have to follow it bit by bit. And, but you know, so I think everyone's really going to like the one that I have coming. I know that.
Amazing. Now, there's some questions in our locals community for you. Are the candidates responsible for reviewing campaign donations to ensure or to ensure that the donations are not fraudulent? I think in Canada, I'm fairly certain, well, we had limits. I don't know if we were responsible to report But I mean, geez, Louise, if you know something's fraudulently reported anyhow, but do you know what the law is?
So I'm pretty sure. I mean, usually when they happen, they hire it out. They have compliance consultants. Compliance services that will review this stuff. You know, I like to say that the best defense that somebody has right now in these politicians that are doing this, their best defense is that they think that old people across the country are sending them tens of thousands of dollars to hear them blowing.
It's an impossible thing to believe, especially, I mean, not to be judgmental, unless they're sitting on bags of gold that they hid in their backyard while living in modest accommodations. No, it's an implausible thing to believe is
right. So I'm sure they would say we had no idea, but you know, then I'm like, well, then your defense is that you actually thought you were taking money from senior citizens living on fixed incomes and you were blowing it on 5-star luxury hotels and private jets. You know, like in some ways that's just more despicable to me than, you know, than you admitting, yeah, I knew the money was coming from Qatar and I was like, whatever, you know, YOLO, you know. That's actually a better defense, you know, because if you actually think it's coming, like I found this one guy, this little old man, 91 years old, lives in a single wide trailer in the California desert. They had him down for $89,000 in contributions. And it like made me sick thinking that, you know, and of course it's being spread out all over the place, but still, you know, him giving $3,000 to, that's a lot of money to give to a single candidate. You know, you didn't think to look, hey man, this guy's given me, you know, made, you know, 50, 60, 70 donations in a single cycle, you know?
It's wild because even assuming he's doing it of his own volition, it can only be described as, there's a term under the law, I forget what it is, but you know, like someone who's squandering their assets. And so you're letting this guy, so that you know, dilapidate his life savings so that you can go to, what was it called, Cabaret in Puerto Rico?
So you can run up a $10,000 bill at the Capitol Hill Club, or so you can go to Puerto Rico. It makes me sick thinking about them.
But the reality is, they take comfort in knowing that's not the case.
Yeah, they know damn well where the money's coming from, even though I'm sure they've insulated themselves, you know. Because otherwise, how could you sleep at night, you know, if you actually thought that you were taking, you know, millions and millions of dollars from retirees on fixed incomes. So when I traced this stuff, when I started first looking into it, really like digging into it, I found that Democrats started it in 2018. I actually think I know who it started with. If you're interested, I can talk about this for hours. So you're just going to have to cut me off.
No. I want to get to some of the questions that we have. So that in our Bill Brown in our locals community says, yet the IRS never caught this. At Etexli says that this Texas special interest group caught my attention. Mothers Against Greg Abbott, MAGA. And then it says, search through the Texas Ethics Commission. Well, I'll screen grab that and look at that afterwards. Bill Brown says, another lawyer had the bubble thing occur in his stream as well. Here, this might be tedious, but we'll bring it up so that we could read these. And there should be some questions for you in here. These are the this is the tips that they give on Rumble. Seems that's what Nikki Haley is doing by staying in a race she can't win.
Oh yes.
She's getting an advance for the book that's coming. There's no question about that. That was from PJH8790. We got Sammy says, do we know or can we find out which companies are processing the credit card transactions for the political action committees? Can they subpoena the transaction histories from the PACs? I guess the question.
So it's the WinRed and the Act Blue are the ones. They are the ones getting, because you can track the expenditures, the credit card transaction fees. And so those are the two primaries. Like I said, Republicans use Anadot, I think it is. And then Democrats, they have another one that they use, but I can't remember the name of it right now.
You know who you look like in that freeze frame? A young Laura Dern.
I don't know.
She's a classic actress. Okay, now hold on. We got this Bill Tongue. I haven't gotten it yet. Sorry, I meant to pop my mic there. Good afternoon from Anton's in Roanoke, Texas. Free shipping for your Bill Tongue order, Bill Tongue, using code VIVA. www.biltongusa or AntonUSA. Your shipment will be en route today, Viva. Thank you very much. And we're gonna, it's a beef jerky alternative, like a softer beef jerky.
Oh, nice.
It's,
yeah.
It's the most effective marketing ever, a rumble rant, and you reach a massive audience. Late to the game, but I think Keith O has rectopedal psychosis, a condition that interferes. Sorry, that says rectopedal.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's a joke at the end of saying that can't be a real disease. It interferes with rational thought due to having the SCOTUS foot shoved so far up your ass. Pseudo Biden says, Mel, put your thumbs up in front of your camera. You will get the fireworks. It's a Mac OS feature.
Really?
Go like this. Okay, hold it, hold it. Maybe on both sides?
I don't know.
Okay. No, nothing yet. Maybe it has to be on full. Well, no, but the full screen wouldn't make a difference there. Okay, we got. So how can we check that donations are not being made in our names? We can discuss that. And then Avalanche says, Viva, I just checked my.
Can I share my screen and I can walk people through it real quick? It's really easy.
Absolutely. I'll get this one done and we'll
do
that.
Okay, sorry.
Viva, I just checked my mom's contributions on the FEC. It shows she donated $100+. I want to know where to go to find out how to report this is fraudulent, says Avalanche. Well, let's do that right now, shall we? Remove this. Go here. And so put in the back. Let me stop screen and put in the back what you want to share. And then I think I get to bring it up.
Okay. Or
maybe I can. We're going to see some boomerang here because I don't know if I can give you permission to share screen.
Laura
Dern was in The Lost Highway. No, she was in the movie with Nicolas Cage, Wild at Heart, a David Lynch movie back in the day when movies used to be good.
Okay. Well, let me see. I think I have to. Okay, I don't know if this is gonna. Is that?
No, I see nothing. You could maybe, if it, oh, there you go. I see it now. Okay. So now I can
all right,
so add to stage. Oh, let me know when you're ready.
Okay. Is that,
now whatever okay. I just saw, I no longer see. Maybe, I saw it for a second and then it disappeared.
Let's see. There. Okay. All right, there. Can
you
see?
Yep. Yeah, I'm bringing it up.
All right, boom. So let's go at blue. Okay, we're going to boom. Okay, so you can see browse receipts on there. And so we've got 29 million receipts. Give me a zip code of a decent sized city.
42879. I have no, I just made that up.
Hold on. Let me see. Let's see.
If I can Google, I'll Google, well, do Google New York or do I want to go?
Indianapolis zip code. So let's see. 46107.
Oh, that's pretty close.
Okay. So there's none from there. Let's see. 46183. All right. That is not 46206. Oh.
If you do, you want to do the Boston zip code?
Let me see something real quick because. Yeah, if you're doing like, let me see. 275.
What's the website is, someone in the chat's asking, is fec.gov. And then you put in Act Blue in the search bar.
Yeah.
And then it brings you to that. Now, someone says 46250. Put in four, it's like okay. Bingo or something.
I know, right? So, okay, this is really weird. Hold on, because this is actually, of course, never happened to me. Let me.
And now someone says, what happens to the funds after you request a refund? What if the person who had 93,000 donated in their name, if they ask for a refund, can they get that all back?
So it is, no, I believe it's probably going to go back to the whoever charged it.
Yeah.
So, of course.
It okay. never works. It never works when everyone's watching.
Right. Of course. You know. This is... Let's see. All right. Boom. So I use... This is in my town. So now we've got that. So what I do... is when I'm looking for somebody, I've got 974, and this is just in 2023.
So you put in a zip code into the screen that you were brought to by putting in ActBlue in FEC.gov, and that's going to give you all of the donations under that zip code by name. Let me go see if I made any political donations. I don't think I think I was never allowed. FEC.gov.
Are you a resident? I think if you're a resident, you
I'm can't. A resident, but I'm not. I'm definitely not a citizen or a permanent resident.
Yeah. So then usually what I do is I pull up, again, this is just 1 year. So this is actually not that many. That 29 million receipts is not that many. Looking at the 2023, 2024, because it hasn't really kicked off yet. It's going to kick off here as soon as the primary's done. Really, probably after today is when things are really going to heat up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. It's Super Tuesday today.
Right. Mm-hmm. So
apparently, Joe Biden asked for the soup. Bada bing, bada boom. Okay. That's an old joke. Okay.
So the other thing that you will notice when you go to the FEC website is, even though it's very user friendly, it locks a lot. So that's one way you can look through it. You can also look by source name. If you can see right here, looking through ActBlue. If you're a Republican, and especially if you're a registered Republican, you're never going to be given to ActBlue. They're not going to use your name. They're going to use it in WinRed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Yeah, I'm doing this as we do this. So now I got the year coverage dates.
I'm just gonna. So boom. So here we go. We've got a gentleman here. This is his name, and we've got him down giving 60 cents. ActBlue, 60 cents over and over again. So what I do usually is I'll copy that name just to get an idea, and I'll put it in here, and then searching for individual contributions from this person.
60 cents. It feels like we're already uncovering something very suspicious.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, it takes a little while. Okay. So boom. Now we see, okay, well, here's somebody, and those look kind of, you know, this is a lawyer. So I know that my guy is from North Carolina. So I come down and I can search. I'll add in North Carolina. So that's gonna filter out anyone not. And always make sure you add that second filter, because yeah, you might see this. Oh, that's not me, but it's, you know, obviously just somebody else with the same name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm noticing it does take a long time to
it does, yeah.
Yield results.
It usually is actually a lot quicker than this. I don't know why it's going so slow.
They know we're talking about us. Yeah, we're talking about them. I'm joking.
Yesterday, when I was downloading this stuff after I just spent, like, you know, just ranting on the phone with my sister, the FEC it like shut me out of Safari, like everything, and I was like freaking out, you know. I was like, no, I need to download the rest of that. But I don't know. I closed the whole application out, opened it back up, and I was like,
the chat says it's freezy because we're all looking in real time. Link to locals, because that's where we're heading in a few minutes. All right, so that's the essence of how to do the search, and then you can play with the filters. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so this one is actually, this is a baby one. This is again. And you can see this is 60.
This is so flipping cool. I just got my, this is so cool. Yeah. Okay. And I'm seeing a lot of 60 cent donations from the same name.
Yeah. That's like nothing. Trust me. I hate that I picked one that's only got 23, because I assure you, you do you know.
What would explain how someone even gives a 60-cent donation? Is it like is it an annual that's divvied up over a month, or are we to believe that someone said, "I'm donating 60 cents. Here's my credit card information."
I who knows? Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah, I know. So this is just the one.
We got here a question. It says, Diane Freeman says, however, there are clear prohibitions against personal use. Campaign funds cannot be used for personal expenses unrelated to the campaign or the duties of the office. Yeah, but everything's related to the, when their mere existence is political, their toilet paper is political, even if it's at their house, even if it's like Charmin.
Let me show you the other way that I, let's see. Dim. Okay, we'll go back to FEC.
Okay, I'm going to bring it back to stage here. All right.
Somebody that I know is just awful. I don't know why it's taking so long.
Somebody that's awful. I mean, the exception would be someone who you know that's not awful in politics.
Right, yeah. I don't know why this thing is taking so long. And I was
The joke is there might be thousands and thousands of people who are.
Right. It might. And that's probably what it is that I'm trying to look at Dan Crenshaw's, because his abuse of campaign funds is almost legendary.
If anybody asking for the link, the link is fec.gov, and mm-hmm. then you go to the website and you go into the glossary little thing on the top right with the magnifying glass, and then you put in Act Blue.
Let me see
if you want, if that's what you want. And then it brings you, then you'll see the Act Blue comes up, you highlight, you go into that, it's taken a very long time. And then when it comes up as a...
I'm trying another way to do it. Yeah.
There's a spam in Rumble, and I don't understand the purpose of the spam. Attention, Mel Gibson is live right now. He's not. Biden is going down tonight. He's not. You've been doing this for months. You are banned forever, spammer, but you'll be back with a new account within 5 minutes.
The website keeps locking up, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a good sign. I think if there was a way, actually, is there a way to see the traffic history? Google traffic history for fec.gov. See if there's a massive spike in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. Either way, people have gotten enough of the info.
Okay. Oh, there we go. Okay. So boom. So let's see. House, but I'm on House candidates. Okay. So Crenshaw. Here we go. 2022. And I'm
legendary. You're not going to make any enemies in our community. People have long shifted their opinions of Dan Crenshaw based on some research.
He's just awful. He's just awful, awful. And so I'll show you how I download. And yeah, you'll be able to see exactly in 2022. And I did a thread on this. You can search my Twitter for Crenshaw. I broke it all down. He spent millions of dollars on events. He expensed $1,200 for event makeup. He spent $18,000 on promotional eye patches. He spent...
This is not to make fun. He's got an eye patch. I'm sorry, but what did you just say? Promotional eye patches?
Mm-hmm.
How much?
$18,000.
Let me think about how I feel about this. I mean, once you're forced to wear the face masks, people were making, you know, not designer, but custom face masks. He needs to wear an eye patch. It's a decent marketing tool. No, I'm going to say that also is, okay, it doesn't matter. That's not my decision to make. That's wild.
Yeah.
And they were for him. They're not, it's not like he's making eye patches to hand out to people that say vote for Dan Crenshaw.
I don't know. They might have actually been for that reason. You know, again, $18,000 worth. You know, people just want you to close the damn border. You know, we don't need your eye patches.
Someone got a $10 rant over on Rumble, and it says, Viva, please donate a billion pennies 10,000 times a day to Letitia James in my name. Hells to the bells. No, I'll wake up with the FBI at my front door if I do that.
Oh, I know, right?
Oh, man. $18,000 on designer custom eye patches.
We got, yeah, let me see. Go to my page, get them. I can't search my profile for Crenshaw. Yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, don't worry, but it doesn't matter. But we got the idea. I think enough people understand how to do it now that it's being wildly overloaded.
I've never actually seen that thing on there, which is really good. It's exciting. I wanna show people how they can download it, especially if you have a Mac. It's a lot to take in, but it's really easy to kind of figure it out. And especially if you're like me, let me stop sharing that.
People saying, I hate Dan Crenshaw. GOP, Geezer's old party is a dying breed. And then someone else says, Diane Freeman in a chat says, ah, Viva, continue on. Mortgage payments, country club memberships, vacation expenses. Yeah. Most person, well, they live and breathe politics and they're worth it because damn it, they've got to get to the illegitimate president.
My own representative, Richard Hudson, he spent $27,000 at Vineyard Vines on quote unquote campaign apparel.
Is that a winery or is that a retail?
No, that's it's a clothing store. It's like a yuppie clothing store. Uh-huh. But $27,000, you know, like he didn't even have any campaign employees. You know, like what? He spent $27,000 on himself, obviously. He spent $1,200 on the Telluride ski lift. You've got Crenshaw out there. He's spending, $5,000 at a hotel in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Another one, Lake Tahoe, this like Deer Park Lodge place that I looked it up. I mean, it's beautiful. It's $900 a night. I mean, like I said, millions of dollars on events, quote unquote events, and paying for everything from the makeup for presumably for his wife for the event to, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on flowers.
It's a joke. I mean, there can be they'll find the justification when it's for an ally and then they'll find the crime when it's for an adversary. That's just how it works.
Right. You know, like I said, nobody is as egregious as it. Well, Crenshaw's is pretty egregious, but the guy I'm doing right now, I'm telling you,
is he Republican or Democrat?
Well, he calls himself a Republican. We'll say that.
I already know who it is. I'm not, I could read, I'll say the answer and then like a bubble is going to appear on your Mac OS. It's going to say Viva got it right. I'm not going to guess. I'll DM you afterwards.
Yeah.
So when do you expect to drop that?
Hopefully by Thursday. So okay. I've got everything pulled out. Like I said, I started it last week. I don't ever want to accuse anyone of anything that I can't back up. And so I go to like great, great lengths to make sure that I follow everything to its end, that there is no other possible conclusion for why, you know, where this money went and why.
Mitz Nave says there's over 300 million people in the 330 million in the U.S., not including the illegals, and the FEC server can't handle 12,000. Dude, they probably can't handle 300. I don't think everybody watching is doing that, but I think they can't even handle 300.
Right. And
then someone said try 12,600. Well, not Sammy said try 12,603 end of the Hudson Line, New York. Lots of Democrats here. Okay, this has been phenomenal.
I've never had that experience where I put in, I really do think that the server was just, because I pull up a random zip code like that and always at least one, you know, and if you're not hitting with Act Red, hit with Act Blue, it's the uni party, it's all one. It doesn't, in my opinion, it doesn't even matter anymore. Clearly they don't, none of these people represent us.
That's wild. You know. I mean, first of all, it's amazing. And the amount of people who now can do this on their own, but everyone should be careful not to make act.
I've had so many people like reach out to me. I've had data analysts, you know, asking me what can I do? And so I've been trying to like get it together so that we can, because really we have to wake people up and get them, you know, people don't even know this. Most people really do think that they're not allowed to spend that money on anything that's not related to the campaign. And I think that that's one reason why the thread kind of took off, is because people, they're just flabbergasted at the idea that you can spend this money on a...
It's like, hey, raise $50 million for an uncontested race, and you've got your piggy bank for the next 4 years.
And wild. Here's the thing, not at the state level, but at the federal level, there's so many layers. So you have your principal campaigns, but then you also have these things called joint fundraising accounts that they all run. A joint fundraising account is where the, you know, we'll say Crenshaw, he will put the National Republican Congressional Committee on his joint fundraising account. So now he can collect a check for himself for, you know, what is it? It's $6,600 for, you know, $3,300 for the primary, $3,300 for the general. But now he can also collect $6,600 for everyone else associated with the NRCC. So this is where the big dogs come to play, and this is where they collect $100,000 checks from these big time donors, right? So now they say, well, the same rules still apply. They're still only allowed to transfer $6,600 into their principal campaign committee. But what they leave out is that the joint fundraising committee is allowed to spend as much as it wants on quote unquote operating expenditures. So takes, for instance, somebody like Steve Scalise. Steve Scalise has not one, but two joint fundraising committees, which he raised $50 million with in 2022. Steve Scalise spent in operating expenditures $25 million in 2 years on operating expenditures for his joint fundraising committees. That doesn't include his principal campaign, or his principal campaign, which also I think spent $8 million. And it doesn't include the other thing that they have is called leadership packs. And these leadership packs are also, they are quote unquote unconnected to the candidate. It's a whole other giant mess, but it's just a giant slush fund. All of them are giant slush funds. Like I said, Steve Scalise runs anywhere from $150,000 to $400,000 a month bill that he pays to a consultancy firm for travel and events and food and consulting. Yeah.
Wild. Someone in the chat on Rumble said, just stop donating. Well, what's clear is it doesn't even matter if you do. They'll donate in your name.
I know. That's what's so frustrating. Everyone's like, well, I'm not giving them another dollar. And it's like, they don't even care because they're getting this money and we don't know where. And it is infuriating. Trust me. I know. I spend half my life just angry at these people. You know, our border is wide open. You know, we have an actual dementia patient, a clear criminal in the White House. These people do nothing but dog and pony shows all day, every day. And then, you know, have the audacity to send you an email saying they need more money when they don't need a damn dime, you know?
Now, one last question. Someone said, give your Twitter handle. It's Village Crazy Lady, but there's no A in the village. So VILLGE Crazy Lady. I do need to ask. I think you did explain it on your feed. What's up with the name?
Oh, so in 2020, my sister and I, and one other lady, we went and we were kind of protesting outside of the governor's mansion to reopen the schools in August 2020. And this guy came and he rolled by and he said, you are like the Village Crazy Ladies out here.
It's a good name. And I presume spelt out entirely was already taken. So drop
no, there's a character limit. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it just kind of, again, I'm crazy because I want the kids to be in school, you know. It's so funny. It trips me out every time somebody is mocking me, you know, like about the vaccine, like, oh, you really are the Village Crazy Lady. I'm like, oh, you know, you shouldn't give experimental vaccines to babies, you know, kind of thing. And so, yeah, that's, you know, I never thought in a million years that I would be, you know, live streaming in front of 12,000 people. So
I never thought in my entire life I'd be living in Florida, having to have fled my own country, looking like a madman raging against the machine. No, it's who could have ever imagined in 2019, 2020 would happen. And this is where we'd be in 2024.
I was really like a super normal person in 2019.
Well, I tell you, you're still normal. And it's the people who were, you know, I say the eccentrics who are the normal, because if being normal means doing what normal people did, who the hell wants to be normal?
Yeah.
Now, Mel, ordinarily I would end the stream and we would talk, but I'm going to bring this over to locals, and I have an, one of our locals members who's going to come on, so I won't get to say our proper goodbyes, but I'll text you after this. It's been amazing. I will continue following. Please keep up with, and keep, you know, keep me up to date with any updates. Text me, whatever. And everybody knows where to find you, but I'll put your Twitter link, your Buy Me a Coffee link, and people will know where to find you. You're doing amazing stuff.
Yes, awesome. Thank you so much. And thank
my
you guys
pleasure.
For watching.
Okay. All right. Go have a good day. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was amazing, people. That was damned amazing. It's amazing. Like, just a smart person with certain set of skills. I feel like I'm channeling Liam Neeson. A paralegal with a certain set of skills that can reveal the corruption for everyone to see. Thank you, Mel. Great job. The eye patch is made of gold. That I can tell you, if it were made of gold, 2 ounces, you're looking at $4,000. You're onto something. Windy372 bottler. Well, it doesn't really matter for the remainder of this stream because we are going over to locals, people. Ban that person forever. That was amazing. Snip, clip, share away, everybody. The thing is that the argument's going to be, well, this is within the bounds of the law. To which I will say, before our guest comes in on vivabarneslaw.locals.com, bullshit is what I'm going to say to that. What Trump did was within the bounds of the law. Professional reliance was the word I was looking for. Quite clearly, it was within the bounds of the law because he, you know, I won't say got away with it because it was never an issue until they decided to say, no, it's no longer within the bounds of the law. Oh, what's that you gave? I'm not going to go over the Letitia James persecution and New York nipple judge Engoron's outrageous ruling. But this was amazing. So it's not Saul. Is it Saul Alinsky who said make them live by their own standards? I'm pretty sure that's one of the legit make them live by their own standards. I'm pretty sure that's one of Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. Yeah, make your opponents live up to their own book of rules. The one statement that people often misattribute to Saul Alinsky is accuse your enemy of what you're doing so as to create confusion. That is not, as far as I understand, one of the rules of radicals. That was a Hitlerian Joseph Goebbels piece of propaganda that worked ever so well. So what we're going to do now, this has been amazing and I hope everyone enjoyed it. Tomorrow, hold on. You'll understand why I was unable to leave that deuce in her bed. Let me see if I can see. This is what Pudgy is doing right now. Rolling around, but that's Winston in front of her. That's a happy dog. If I had left that, oh my gosh, that would have been a mess. Tomorrow's going to be amazing. I think it starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. The Ashley Merchant having been subpoenaed by the Georgia State Legislature in their investigation into the big Fannie Willis. So I'll be live. It's going to be amazing. If you're not coming over to vivabarneslaw.locals.com, so be it. Everyone's entitled to make their own choices. But we are ending on Rumble. Thank you all for being here. It was amazing. And I hope everyone enjoyed it.